Sit back, relax, and crack a limited edition New South Wales Blues Tui's New, featuring the words of wisdom of some of our Origin legends like Blocker, Freddie, Hindy, Mortimer, and Menzies. Now here's another legend, MG on the Rush Hour.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
Rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And what a huge show we've got coming up for you Monday. Robbie Farah, the Tiger King, returns home to Leichhardt this Sunday. We'll find out how Robbie is feeling ahead of what will be an emotional day for him, I imagine. Adam McDougall, the health hacker, joins us, MG, plus your chance to win $100 cash. You need the answers to all three of MG's smart ask questions to get the dough. But MG...
Hey, you hear that out there? That's the whole country exhaling after... Don't make me cry. Last night I got my antipasto and a glass of red or three and got out of my lounge on the odd occasion. But alas, it was to no avail. And our Socceroos have gone down in the group stage and we won't see them again this World Cup.
2-0 defeat to Peru means our World Cup is over, MG. We'll talk about that next. We'll break it down because the knives have come out.
Oh, haven't they?
It's amazing how quickly we can start to criticise when our teams, particularly our national sporting teams, don't do well. But MG,
yes,
the World Cup's still on.
Yes.
And you and I need some bandwagons to jump on.
We do. I reckon our listeners can help us.
133353 listeners. MG and I need to get on board a team, any team, for the rest of the World Cup.
You know, something that will suit our characters, maybe. Liam from Adelaide and 5'4" with a little blonde hair, like a little surfer. And me from the western suburbs of Sydney. Who should I be going for in this World Cup now that the Socceroos have been eliminated? You little South Australian.
South African.
You're like Johnny Rhodes, actually.
133353 listeners, pitch us which teams MG and I should get on board for the rest of the World Cup. Might be a T-shirt in it for you if you can convince us to get on board somebody.
There will be a T-shirt in it for the best two.
Only if we get on board their teams, MG.
Okay.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Up next, we're talking Socceroos. Don't know why we're out.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
The Rush Hour with MG on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Let's do this.
Trending now.
Now, MG, normally when I go to bed at 2 a.m, it's because I'm incoherent, I'm fully clothed, and I'm smelling like a brewery.
That was me this morning.
Well, last night I was none of those things. Our World Cup is over. A 2-0 defeat to Peru means we finished last in our group. France and Denmark played out a nil-all draw. Those two teams will progress to the next round. You stayed up and watched the game.
Yep.
What'd you make of it?
Well, look, without being a soccer expert, never professed to be that, but I followed all our national teams, you know, with fever pitch, like all the Australians did with this current World Cup. I woke this morning and I didn't see Craig Foster's comments live because I must have nodded off, but to call an Australian team gutless and un-Australian is pretty big words and a bit harsh in my opinion. To be honest, I think that when you're playing against France, who are ranked 7th, you're playing against Peru, who are ranked 11th in the world, and Denmark ranked 12th, we're 36th in the world. How about the fact we just weren't good enough? I mean, we rode the wave with the Socceroos like we always do, but in the end, really, I mean, we're ranked last going into the World Cup.
Yeah, well, the floodgates certainly opened from a criticism point of view. This was Craig Foster on SBS's coverage post-match last night.
My feeling is that the majority of Australia are with me over here. They're saying, we wanted to come here and really go. We wanted to come and show something to the world. We showed them that we're tactically okay, that we're organised, that we've got a strong mentality. You know, we understand the basic European football because that's what most of them do. So there's two ways to look at that. We're doing what everyone else is doing, therefore we're right. Or we're doing what everyone else is doing, therefore we're doing nothing different. And how is it that we think we're going to do something special?
And obviously, Craig's entitled to his opinion, played at the highest level. Robbie Slater, another former Socceroo, he ripped in, but from a different perspective. His argument was, his frustration was with our reliance on Dutch managers and Dutch coaches and the Dutch way of playing football, meaning we don't have our own identity, which I think is what Craig was getting at a little bit then as well.
What nationality was Gus Hiddink?
Dutch.
Well, hello.
Pim Verbeek.
Look, we got what we wanted last night. We got it 30 minutes to go. We got Timmy Cahill entered the field. We got Arzani on. We got what we wanted as Aussie supporters. We wanted them to be injected, and they were. And at the end of the day, we produce the odd superstar in our national teams who go over and make a really good living out of it. But when we're playing against teams that are ranked 20 spots above us in the world,
and it's their national sport.
It's their national sport. I mean,
MG, look, I wasn't like a parent whose kids lied to them, MG. I wasn't angry. I was just disappointed.
I think so. I think we all were. But you can't call a team gutless and un-Australian when they're representing the coat of arms.
And what about our Prime Minister, old Malcolm? I always get a little bit nervous when Malcolm stretches into the sporting waters to offer his opinion, but here's what he had to say about last night's loss.
They were fantastic. They had some bad luck. That's football, I guess. But they really made us proud. Australia backed them every step of the way. And as I said to Millay last night in the message I sent him, we'll do so again at the next World Cup.
Clang. Just drop that name.
Mal, you didn't watch a second, brother. You didn't watch 1 second. You had someone watching for you. And then the text went out this morning, Millay.
I reckon Mal's got the calendar up, counting down the 4 years to Qatar already. But the tournament is still on. The World Cup continues, MG. And you and I, we are looking for bandwagons to jump on board. So we put it out to the listeners. 1-3-3-5-3. Pitch us your teams. Do you think we should get behind? Chris in Monavale, who should MG and I be getting on board with?
Okay, I'm going to give you two. One theme, G, I'm going Mexico. I reckon he might be partial to a Dirty Sanchez every now and then. I'm giving Argentina to you, mate.
Argentina.
Liam's got Argentina.
They're travelling awfully. Yeah. Thanks for that, Chris.
Mate, that is fantastic.
Dirty Sanchez, what do you reckon, MG?
I like Guzman Gomez, so...
All right, not bad.
El Tree.
We got Mexico and Argentina being offered up there by Chris. Ray in North Meat, who should MG and I be getting behind?
Listen, there's only one team to follow with the Aussies knocked out and the Italians out. You've got to go for England. You've got to get on the pain train.
The pain train?
Ray, you know what? Eddie Keane. He's doing it again. No. Yeah, I'm going for England.
You're on board.
I'm going for England.
Oh, congratulations, Ray.
Ray, you take a T-shirt and run. Because you know I'm going for England. I love England because in 1966 they won their last World Cup, and the year later I was born. My dad was still is a massive West Ham supporter. And in that 1966 World Cup team, Bobby Moore was the captain of the English team from West Ham. And West Ham's Jeff Hurst was in that team. He remains the only man ever to kick a hat-trick in a World Cup final. So England is mine, and let's go...
So you're on board England, are you?
Hattie Keane, let's do it again.
All right, Andrew in Liverpool, what's your pitch? Which team do we need to be getting on board with for the rest of the World Cup?
Yeah, I had a bit of a think while I was holding on the line, so I've got two now. I've got Croatia for MG just because they're a bit random like you, big fella, and they're a bit of a loose cannon. You just never quite know when they're going to go off.
Not bad.
I like it. I like it.
And then for you, Liam, I've got the Swiss because you're just a bit of an even keel, I think, keeping the big fella in check.
You know what? He looks like the singer from Ace from Base. Ace, is it? You actually look like a Swedish dude. You do.
He said Switzerland. They're different countries.
Oh, he said Sweden. Oh, he said
Swiss. No, the Swiss.
Oh, the Swiss.
I'll tell you what, Andrew from Liverpool, I'm throwing a T-shirt your way. I appreciate the consideration. I'm going to ignore Andrew's recommendation, though.
You look like a Bjorn. Oh, if I didn't know you and I met you on the street, I'd say, hey, Bjorn. I don't know why. You just look like a Bjorn.
You know what? We are one on this show, MG, so I'm going to get on board England with you.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely. We ride together, we die together.
Well, I'm centre forward.
All right, fine. We're not actually playing.
Oh, okay. play the Sex Pistols again for me, can you? Just one more time. Johnny Rock. Queen. Go, England.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Up next, Robbie's return. Robbie Farah next on whether he can lift the Tigers into this year's final and why his return has thrown a spanner into the works of his new business name.
Good one, Bjorn.
Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with MG and Bjorn, apparently.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. And MG, there are not a lot of fairy tales in sport.
No.
I mean, you don't often get to write your own ending, but our next guest has that exact opportunity. After 247 games with the West Tigers, he was pushed out of the club. He spent a season and a half with the Rabbitohs, but on Sunday, he will run out onto his beloved Leichhardt Oval as a Tiger once again. Robbie Farrell, welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Fantastic, mate. Quite happy for you. These things, as Liam just mentioned, don't often work out for the player in question, but this time you get to go back to your beloved heartland, the Tigers.
I guess pretty crazy to think I'll be back there this week, running out onto Leichhardt Oval, you know, in the black and gold jersey. And, you know, never did I think I'd be back there in my playing career after leaving there 18 months ago. But I guess the way things have panned out this year, mate, an opportunity come up for me to go back, and Ivan was keen to get me back on board, mate. And for me, it's no better ending to my career than to go back to the club I love and hopefully finish my career there.
Yeah, and I suppose for any young bloke who's listening to this chat, never say never, because you never know what's going to be around the corner. And you go back at a really interesting time. We did the math the other day, myself and Liam here, about the Tigers and in particular the Raiders, who are just outside the eight. They're run home. And we figure you've got to win at least six, maybe seven games to make the eight. And with you and Mbai both joining the team, certainly adds more, gives them more of a chance.
Yeah, that's right, mate. You know, I've had a look at the ladder, obviously, but I think as a group, you know, we just need to focus on that old cliche of taking it one week at a time. You know, we sat down today as a group, and I think first and foremost, you know, that they were really disappointed with their last start performance against Canberra. And I think for the way the team has performed this year, that last performance was really out of character for the group. You know, the Tigers this year have been a team that has been gritty and, you know, played for that 80 minutes and, you know, really worked hard for each other. And I think, you know, they probably let themselves down in that last game. And as a group, we need to turn it around this Sunday against the Gold Coast. So, you know, that run to the semi starts this week.
And so what has Ivan said to you as far as expectations go of you and your role in this team?
Yeah, look, I think for myself and Moses Mbai obviously coming into the side in two key positions, you know, it's coming in and just learning the structures as quickly as we can. And I guess putting our input into the game as well. You know, Ivan's really good. You know, he wants us to come in and not be shy and speak up if we think there are a better way of doing things. But, look, at the same time, you know, the halves have been going really well. You know, Brooksy's been going great guns this year, as has Benji, and you know, Joshy Reynolds in his limited game time. So, you know, between the four of us in those key positions, mate, we haven't got any time to waste, because, you know, if it does take us 3 or 4 weeks to work on those combinations, then our season's going to be gone by then. So, you know, we need to really work hard to get it right come this week and hit the ground running.
Robbie, what's the feedback been like from all the West Tigers fans?
Mate, it's been unbelievable, to be honest, MG. It's really given me that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Fantastic.
Not just the West Tigers fans, mate, but I think rugby league fans, as you said. I think everyone loves seeing, you know, a local player go back or play out his career at a club or go back to his old club. There's a good feel about it, I guess. You know, the Tigers fans have been great. South Sydney, you know, were great and all the players there supported me. And, you know, just rugby league fans have been coming up and pat me on the back, which is nice. But at the same time, mate, I know I've got a job to do, and hopefully I can come in there and repay that faith that Ivan's put in me.
And Robbie, speaking of warm, fuzzy feelings, what did Benji say when he heard you were locked in to come back to the West Tigers?
Yeah, you know, he obviously played a major part in getting me back, Benj, and you know, have the opportunity to hopefully play some footy with him again. It's pretty surreal, to be honest. We made our debut together 15 years ago, and which makes me feel pretty old. But to have the opportunity to play some footy again and hopefully rekindle that combination we had, he's been a great mate of mine, you know, not only through footy, but through each other's lives. You know, we've shared some dark days together. We've shared some great times together, and hopefully there's some more good times on the horizon.
And they haven't, the club hasn't thought about reaching out to Bo Ryan to get the band back together?
Oh, God, no. I bloody hope not. I should have asked for a clause in my bloody contract.
And Robbie, you're contracted to the end of the year. Obviously, you're not sure at this stage what happens beyond that, but you're already planning for life post footy. You've got your company 247 events set up. How's that all going?
Yeah, mate, it's going good. Other than the fact that I might have to change the business name now. So we named it 247 because when I finished up at the Tigers, finished up with 247 NRL game name. But yeah, 247, mate, doing some good things. It's really growing and something I'm really enjoying. Customising VIP packages to major sporting events here and around the world. you know, Super Bowls, Masters, NBA, whatever you want. Yeah, there's a lot of good, exciting things coming up. So, mate, MG, we might have to get you on board one of our tours in the near future, mate.
Mate, I'm there for you, brother. Only if you promise us to come in and spend some time with us in studio.
Sounds good.
Right, done. Good, mate, listen, we're all rooting for you this weekend against the Titans, mate. May you have Godspeed, as they say in America, and let's make every post a winner, to use another cliche in rugby league.
No, thanks, fellas. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Robbie, as we let you go, you figured out, are you across all the captains your club has now? There's five of them at the West Tigers.
There might be six now.
Yeah.
Mate, that's good. As long as I don't have to talk to the referees, mate, anyone can do it.
Robbie Farrow, the West Tigers, taking on the Titans this weekend at Leichhardt Oval. We wish you the best of luck.
Cheers, fellas. Thank you.
Remember, we've got $100 cash up for grab thanks to MG Smartass. You need the answer to all three questions across the show. Here is question number one. Bit of a Timmy Cahill tribute as he bids farewell to the Socceroos.
MG Smartass. MG's Smart Ask.
Question number one. How many goals has Timmy Cahill scored for Australia?
Mark Flanagan. Liam Gough. No, that's not right. Oh! The Triple M Rush Hour. With MG.
And we do the rush hour for the limited edition New South Wales Blues Tui's new cans. There's wise words of wisdom found on these limited edition New South Wales Blues Tui's new cans throughout the Origin period. Advice from people like yourself, MG, Nathan Hindmarsh, Blocker Roach, all the great men of New South Wales State of Origin.
What an honour.
Yeah.
Dad said honour to be picking up a can with my name on it.
Absolutely. I must confess. That's a dream, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, especially the beer I've been drinking for 30, what am I, 50, so 37 years. No, I was 13.
I think you meant to say 32. Yeah, and thank you to Tui's News, great supporter of the show, The Rush Hour with MG. Very briefly, MG, we've got Adam McDougal coming up next. Still your chance to win $100 cash with MG's Smart Ass. Two more questions to go. A couple of little bits of Sydney sporting news we should touch on. Firstly, to the AFL world, GWS. Their task of making finals has become that little bit more difficult. Last night, their gun forward, Jeremy Cameron, was handed a 5-week suspension for his being found guilty of intentionally striking the Brisbane Lions' Harris Andrews. Andrews suffered an 8mm bleed to the left side of his brain that hit. But
so do you think the punishment, did it fit the crime? Do you think the cause of the injury to the young bloke who he got the elbow was intensified more?
Absolutely. The severity of the injury suffered by Harris Andrews has played a part in it, and you've got to say it fit the crime because that's what the tribunal handed down.
Okay.
I think the argument that some people at GWS, and I agree with, was the level of outrage and speculation from people in the media, which, you know, they've gone after Jeremy Cameron's character a little bit, and now, having watched a lot of Jeremy Cameron play football, he's not a thug, he's a physical player, absolutely, but there's no way he was intending to do that sort of a damage to Harris Andrews. So
how big a blow is he to the GWS Giants?
Huge. They're half a game outside the eight at the moment, so finals are going to be a challenge, but without him, and with, out of the last nine games, six of those nine are against teams above them.
Wow.
It's going to be a real uphill slog for the GWS Giants. And secondly, MG, basketball. I know you love this sport.
Oh, I do.
A huge announcement today for the NBL.
I heard it, yeah. Fantastic.
The seven NBL teams are set to play preseason matches against NBA counterparts.
How good.
It's amazing.
Whose idea was this? Is this because of the Bogut effect in Sydney?
I'm sure it's played a part in it. I think the owner of the NBL, Larry Kesselman, since he's taken over with it, has done great things.
Yeah.
And this started off, you remember, the Sydney Kings and the Adelaide 36, and I believe Melbourne United all played games last year against NBA's teams. But now for seven teams to have this opportunity to play these preseason games.
We keep forgetting that Andrew Bogut's here. He's playing for the Sydney Kings this year. And that's massive. That is absolutely massive.
It's huge.
I can't wait to watch him play.
Well, it's seven games rather than seven teams. Seven games of NBL v NBA. And you're right, the Sydney Kings will take on the LA Clippers. Unfortunately, not here in Sydney, but over in Honolulu, MG.
Oh, mahalo.
How do we get on board that one?
Well, let's go.
We'll lock it in?
I've been there.
Okay, well, you've got connections.
I've got connections.
You can hook us up.
Yeah, we're there. Out we go. Here we come.
All right, speaking of connections, Adam Mad Dog McDougal up next.
Oh, the doggy.
I don't even know what we're going to talk to him about.
We'll find something.
It's always fun.
Yeah, it always.
It's the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Adam Mad Dog McDougal up next.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M. Or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
The Rush Hour with MG on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. You've still got that chance to win $100 cash thanks to our mates at Pizza Hut. Keep listening. You need to have the answers to all three of MG's smart ass questions to win the cash. MG, as we do every week, we bring in this man. Let's just call him what he is. He's a guru. He is the health hacker. He hosts the Health Hacker with Adam McDougall podcast. It's available on Podcast One. And we bring him in every week because he just knows stuff, MG.
Lots of learnings from the Mad Dog, and he's a very, very smart man. And I must confess, I look forward to this segment each week.
Well, Mad Dog, as we welcome you into the Rush Hour with MG, we're talking injuries, we're talking developments in sport and the fact that, you know, players are lasting longer than they ever used to.
Yeah, and I think what really brought this topic to light recently is James Tedesco. If you have a look at him, he's had several injuries, which, you know, a number of years ago would have seen players have to retire. If you look at the great, you know, Reg Gasnier, he tore his Achilles tendon, was forced to retire. You know, in the 70s, even the 80s, when guys did ACL injuries, which are very common these days, they're forced to retire. And if you have a look, even, you know, in my period of playing and MG's period of playing, you know, an ACL injury would see you out for up to nearly 18 months. Now we're seeing some sports people return in as little as 6 weeks. I know that sounds ridiculous, but in the NFL, guys have actually come back in as little as 6 weeks from these injuries. So the advancement in technology and, you know, the nutrition and some of these hacks around how to get back on the field quickly are amazing.
Let's just go back to that point you just made. Go through a timeline sort of thing. As you said, through the late 70s, early 80s, having an arthroscope was considered season-ending. As you mentioned, having an ACL injury was basically career-ending. But now with medical procedures, we're seeing a lot more players, as you mentioned, playing longer. But what about these new injuries we're seeing in the game, like the pec and the syndesmosis? What's that from?
Yeah, once again, it's the training load that's really seeing a lot of these injuries and the different training modules that we're actually adapting now as professional athletes. Like, the best thing that guys used to press back in the day in the 70s and 80s was the schooner glass. Now, guys are spending more time doing bench press for Instagram than they are for anything else. A lot of these guys now are, you know, basically undertaking, you know, certain types of training that, for their sports, probably aren't as conducive as what they should be. You know, guys trying to justify their position in the sports performance office, trying to say, well, let's go to an extra weight session this week so I can keep my job. You know, you look at a rugby club over in Europe, you know, Leicester and some of the other teams over there, they're only running one day a week, MG. And they actually won a lot of the European championships off the back of one day of running, which is against everything that a lot of teams actually do now in the professional era, which is more. You know, my biggest, you know, gripe as a player was when we used to bloody get up after a game of football. You might play at, say, an Origin match. It wouldn't be sort of back home and in the hotel till about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then they'd get you up at bloody 7 o'clock to jump in a freezing pool of water to do a recovery session.
You're never a fan of that, were you? You're never a fan of that.
Mate. Sleep's the best recovery you can bloody well get. So, you know, jumping in a cold thing of water only does one thing. It shrinks your old fella. I don't need that to be shrunk anymore. So, it's going to continually evolve. And there's some exciting developments, and it's really great for athletes. We would never have seen a talent as prodigious as James Tedesco 10 years ago if he sustained injuries he had before this. And, wow, what a player. Imagine not seeing a talent like him run around. But thankfully, because of sports science, we are.
Not enough money being put into the research around shrinkage for Mind Mad Dog. Well, LeBron James over in the NBA is another classic example. He's heading into his 12th season and just playing at the elite level. And his career, because of the advances in diet and training and recovery, is beyond what any player 10, 20 years ago could ever have imagined. Where do you think this could get to? I mean, you look at Bo Scott today has announced his retirement because of this ACL injury. Do you think we'll ever see a time where players suffer an ACL injury and return mid-season? Is that sort of a turnaround possible?
You know, there's guys in the NFL that have come back in as little as 6 weeks from an ACL injury.
Wow. So
traditionally, what they would actually have to do is go in and graft the part of your own body, whether it was patella tendon or that cut-out part of your hamstring. Now, if you cast your mind back to a guy like Robbie Ross, who was the New South Wales fullback at the time, he did his ACL. They cut out part of his hamstring to replace the ACL. He kept tearing his hamstring and was never seen again. I personally had an ACL injury where they took out my patella tendon, and you know, I was forced out of the game for 18 months as a result of problems with the patella grafts. Now they're using cadavers, dead people's Achilles tendons.
Wow.
They're using, you know, all sorts of interesting things to speed up the recovery. Sports science is totally flipped on its head, guys, and it will continue to do so in the next few years.
All this talk of shrinkage, Mad Dog, can you use your crystal balls for a sec and look into forecast into the future? I want you to look in 10 years in the NRL. What do you think is the new injury on the block? What are we going to be treating in 10 years' time in the NRL?
I think it's going to be brain related injuries. They just recently released a study in the NFL where they did an autopsy on 100 past NFL players, and 99 of the players basically had brains that were mush.
As always, you're illuminating, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. And if you want to, he might not make you bigger, stronger, or faster, but if you want to feel, look, and live a little bit better, you should absolutely check out the Health Hacker podcast with this man, Adam McDougall, available on Podcast One. We'll speak to you next week.
See you, brother.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Always fun to chat to the Mad Dog. Here is question number two you need for the $100 cash. A bit of a Tim Cahill theme running off the back of him playing in his fourth ever World Cup.
MG's Smart Ask.
Question number two. What star sign is Timmy Cahill?
More listeners from Penrith than any other show. And that's just his family. The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
$100 cash up for grabs. Here's the last question you need the answer to.
MG's Smart Ask.
Question number three. In the 2014 World Cup, who did Tim Cahill score the iconic goal against?
There you go. Three Tim Cahill-focused questions as the great man, we presume, we haven't heard the official announcement yet, finishes up his Socceroos career, though, MG. 133353 if you've got the answers to those three questions. Mr. Geyer.
Yes, Mr. Flanagan.
A big, big round of football kicks off tomorrow.
Unbelievable. We have four in particular that I'll highlight. Warriors and Sharkies, that's 4th versus 7th. Roosters and Storm, 5th versus 6th. Bronkies and Raiders, 8th versus 9th.
Hold on. Bronkies and Raiders.
I'm talking slang. 8th versus 9th. And Tigers and Titans, 10th versus 11th. So some ramifications after this weekend's round, you would think.
Yeah, a real juicy round of football, round 16 of the NRL. Kicking off tomorrow night, you can hear that one, Dragons v Eels, right here on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. MG,
yep.
We've got Ben from Bexley on the line. Ben, MG's got the questions. Let's see if you've got the answers.
G'day, Benny. How are you, brother?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. He's ready to win some cash. How many? First question, how many goals has Tim Cahill scored for Australia?
I got 50.
Question number two. What star sign is young Timmy Cahill?
Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah. Good star sign.
No, loves his star signs, Ben and Bexley.
And for the 100 clams, question number three. In the 2004 World Cup, who did Tim Cahill score the iconic goal against?
That would be the Netherlands.
Nice work, Ben.
Well done,
you
sir.
Have won $100 cash. Thanks to our mates at Pizza Hut. Ribs versus wings in the footy feed. Only at Pizza Hut. Congratulations, Ben. MG, we're out of time. We got to go. Round 16 tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll be there. Who's on tomorrow night? It's the Dragons and Eels. Let's get there. He's Liam. I'm MG. Stay random, Sydney.
That's been the Rush Hour Catch-Up Podcast with the legendary MG. If you want more words of wisdom from Origin greats like Blocker, Freddie, Hindy, Mortimer and Menzies, pick yourself up the limited edition New South Wales Blues Tui's New today.